Today we're talking about your elevator speech, which is a fancy word or a shorthand for saying, if you got on an elevator and you pushed the 9th floor and someone said, what congregation do you go to? And you said, Unitarian Universalist. And as the doors were closing, they said, what's Unitarian Universalist? You only have until the 9th floor to tell them the answer. So sometimes what we do is we just talk and talk and talk and talk. So I usually try to keep in mind a few bulleted points just to kind of keep my mind in order, but I change this around a lot, often depending on who I talk to. So I might say Unitarian Universalism used to be two Christian denominations, and they got together and they decided that they weren't going to have a common belief system, so we're non-creedal, but instead we focus on how we live our lives, and we focus on making the world a better place. Done. Doors open. So today I'm going to kind of go over some of those bullet points with you, but the thing is, if you don't remember them, that's okay. There's no right answer to having an elevator speech. And so I want you to open up your order of service, and on the right side at the top, there's a piece, a little word, it says the right answer. And so I want you to just place your fingers onto that and kind of draw to mind the anxiety you feel when someone asks you what the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is, because you feel like you have to have the right answer. I want you to kind of put that anxiety into that piece of paper, and I want you to tear it out. So kind of carefully tear that, those words, the right answer, out of the order of service. And it's okay if it's not pretty. Okay, so you have the right answer in your hand, correct? And in that right answer is all the things you're supposed to say. Now I want you to crumple it up and throw it in the middle of the room. Yeah, there's no right answer. Now, I want you to turn to the back of your order of service, because there's a big heart. Aww. This is a place where I want you to remember that what comes out of your mouth when someone asks you what is Unitarian Universalism, whatever comes out of your heart is the right answer. And so if it would be helpful today to take some notes about the thoughts you're having during this service or the things I say, you could write it on the back there in that heart or around that heart, and that would be a reminder to you that whatever's in your heart is the right answer. Hopefully just by writing some stuff down, that might help you remember. But if you want to save it, put it in your wallet, have a little cheat sheet next time someone asks you, that can also be useful too. So just remember that today I'm going to give you some suggestions, some pointers, but it's okay. You don't have to remember them all. Whatever you say is the right answer in the moment. So the first place I like to go when I'm explaining what Unitarian Universalism is a little bit of history, because history is what brought us to today. So without our history, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist, and we wouldn't be who we are today. So I want to draw your attention to the flyer that is inside your order of service. This coming program year, starting in mid-September, we are going to be celebrating Connection Year here at the Fellowship. And the connections are going to be between each of you, connections to each other, connections to the wider community, and really importantly, connections to your Unitarian Universalist identity. I want you all to feel confident in being and understanding what it means to be UU. One of the reasons it's so hard to explain is because you don't really get it. And that's okay. So I want to offer opportunities for you to get it better and to feel more confident. So there's lots of ways listed on that brochure, that flyer, about the different ways we're going to connect to our UU faith this coming year. And at the end of the program year, I'm going to do kind of what we did when we did the money offering, and I'm going to make an email address and a Facebook group, and I want you to share with us how your elevator speech improved. over the course of the year. So I want you to kind of swim around in some of the opportunities that we're going to offer. Many of them will be on Sunday mornings, Saturday afternoons, classes that we're going to be doing. But and then I want you to sort of think, like, did I get more confident? Did I get better at this? And if the answer is no, that's fine. We have still more to do. But that's the goal. I want you to feel more confident. So when I think about history, I told Rachel I'm going to be doing something called UU University. I'm going to do 4 this coming year. They're going to be Wednesday evenings, and they're going to be kind of like a lecture, like a university. And I'm doing 2 of them, 2 2.5-hour sessions on history. Right now, I'm going to give you the 3-minute version of our UU history, because you don't want to do that if someone asks you on an elevator. So Unitarian and Universalist were 2 separate Christian denominations for a long time, a couple hundred years. It'd be like if the Lutherans and the Methodists got together. So in 1961, they got together and they created this new thing. They took pieces of their old identities. And the pieces of their identities that they took were from the Unitarians. The word Unitarian is the opposite of Trinitarian. Trinitarian is God is 3. Unitarian is God is 1. Uni, like a unicorn or unicycle. And what that means is that Jesus, they were Christian, they worshiped Jesus, but they didn't believe that Jesus was God. They didn't believe in the Trinity. They believed that Jesus was a man and a moral teacher, and that when they looked in the Bible, they didn't see anything about Jesus being God, and they didn't quite understand it. And so they said, that belief doesn't make sense to us, so we're not gonna believe it. So 2 of the things that they taught us and gave us was, 1, to use your brain. That if someone tells you this is the truth, you have to use your brain and say, does that make sense to me? So reason. And another version of saying reason is also wonder or curiosity. Does that make sense to me? Do I understand that? Do I have a question about that? That's okay. It's good to have questions. Our Unitarian ancestors gave us reason and wonder. And about 600 other things, but today we're going to focus on those 2. Our Universalist ancestors, Universalism was the idea that God was so loving that God didn't create a place called hell. That no one would be punished forever after they died, even if they did really, really bad things, because no one is outside the circle of God's love. And so our Universalist ancestors gave us love. No one is disposable. No one is shunned, even if they make bad choices. That the love of God and the love of our community will re-embrace everyone. And they also gave us justice, because if they weren't worried about hell, they didn't have to save souls. They didn't have to worry about what was going to happen to you after the afterlife. They focused on the hell that sometimes is this life for some people. And they focused on making this life better for people. So, if you can remember those 4 words, reason, using your brain, curiosity or wonder, asking questions is good, love, that love is a foundation for who we are, and justice, making the world better. Those are the 4 things that our history gives us today, and that is all you need to tell someone who's asking you in an elevator. If you want to take a picture of that slide, you can, or write it on your heart. All right, that's our history in a nutshell. Come to UU University and get a lot more. That'll be fun. So one of the reasons that it's so hard to explain Unitarian Universalism is because we're really different from a lot of other religions, because we don't all agree about what we believe. Most people think that the reason you would come to a congregation is to be reiterated or to be told clearly what to believe. That's what most people think congregations are for. But here we have a totally different understanding of what the purpose of congregational life is for. It's not to tell you what to believe or to remind you. It's to help you find it for yourself. And so sometimes when we're asked, we go straight to beliefs. Well, some people believe in God and some people don't, and some people believe in the earth, and you know, and remember that there's no right answer, but I want to just encourage you to take a deep breath and say, we have lots of different beliefs. Here are mine. And that's okay. That's a good enough answer. But in order to even say that, here are mine, you have to think about what yours are. We have different beliefs here about God. Some of us believe in God. Some of us believe in gods or goddess. Some of us believe that kind of God is the universe or in all things. Some people don't believe in anything like God. Some people believe that there is an afterlife. Some of us believe in rebirth. Some of us believe that when you die and that's it. Some people believe that humanity is deeply and core good. Some of us believe that we make mistakes. There are lots of different beliefs about life, death, God, all the different things. So I want to just ask you to raise your hand and tell me some of your beliefs. So I might say, I believe that God is the name we give the cosmos. Or I believe that no one is outside the circle of love. What do you think? Justin? I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. What do you think, Jenny? There's a spirit to the universe. Penny? All creation is sacred. Did I see Peyton? Or no? Who had their hand up? No? Okay. Willow? All is one and one is all. Jen? We all have souls. God is love. I believe there's a higher power, and it doesn't matter what you call it. We believe in this earth, here and now. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you believe, everyone has inherent worth and dignity. That's our first UU principle. I see a hand over here, a kid hand. I'd love to hear from a couple kids. What do you believe? Anyone? What do you think, Liam? Mother Earth is in everything? Yeah, very cool. All right, so these are just some ideas. I saw heads nodding, you know, when people were naming their beliefs. So in your order of service, there are some post-its. If you're sharing an order of service with someone, you can share the post-it. If you need more post-its, we've got more. We can hand more out. Just raise your hand. And I want you to write or draw one or two of your beliefs. Just as people are raising their hand, that's short. Doesn't have to be a treatise. Write it down, and then I'm going to ask Steve's like, what are you going to ask me to do? To play us some music, and I want you to come up and place your post-it on this board. So if bending is easy for you, do it lower, and if bending is harder for you, do it toward the top. Okay? And if mobility is really hard, just send your post-it with someone else. Okay? So write your one or two beliefs, and come place it on this board right here. And so as Rachel said, after you all came forward and placed your beliefs on this board, that she was pleased to see you living your faith as you did it. People were helping, holding the board, helping each other, offering hugs, talking to each other. But really, we are a faith not of beliefs, but of actions. And so sometimes the shorthand for that is we say deeds, not creeds. That we're not focused on the creed or the belief, we're focused on the action. And so, but when we act in the world, we don't do it completely willy-nilly. We do it out of our beliefs. If we believe that the world is a scary place, then we might behave and act in ways that try to protect us from that scariness. If we believe that people are inherently good, we might act in more trusting ways. If we believe that all people are deserving of love and care, then we might act in ways that are more loving and caring. And so our beliefs inform our actions, but but they are not the thing that I'm the most concerned with. I'm concerned with what you do with your hands and not so much with what you say, except insofar that what you say is helpful to other people. And so thinking about our ancestors, the Unitarians who taught us to use our minds and to wonder, and the Universalists who taught us about love and justice, and thinking about what you wrote for your belief, I want you to think about how might that come out as an action? How might I live my faith? One way to say it is, if it was suddenly against the law to become Unitarian Universalists, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And I would hope that there were. Not that I don't want us all to get in trouble, but I want there to be enough evidence that you are a Unitarian Universalist that people know when they see you. I know that you are you because you act like this. So I want you to think about just one action that you might take. Something maybe that you've been doing all along that you want to continue doing. Maybe something you want to try, maybe a one-time action. Or maybe just how you want to live your life. An action, something like, I want to be more curious about things instead of jumping to conclusions. Or I want to offer more care and love. Or I want to center the voices of people who have been harmed more in my life. Those are some kinds of ideas for actions. I want you to write those down, and then when you're done, we're going to just all pass them to the center, toward the aisle, and we're going to continue with our service while you're writing, and during our last hymn, our ushers are going to collect all those, so they need to be to the center by the time we're singing our hymn, and we're going to put them all here at the foot of our beliefs, because they're actually more important than our beliefs.